First training in giving away your body, the next training in giving away your wealth, possessions. So if you have something that you can give to someone else in terms of possessions, you can do that. And then next is giving virtues to others. So how to do that? By trying to imagine that you transform all kinds of things that could be of benefit to other sentient beings. You imagine your very virtues, various virtues that you've accumulated in the form of those things and events or items which could be of benefit to as many beings as possible, like those beings in the hell realm and so forth. So imagine that those hell beings who are being tormented by the heat, excessive heat, so imagine your virtues transform into the form of very soothing water or nectars, and then thereby dispelling that suffering of the heat. And then again imagine those beings, those hell beings in the cold realm. So imagine your virtues transforming in the form of heat or in the form of all kind of very soothing the items containing the nature of heat, and then through the contact contact of these items with the hell realms, in the cold hell realms, so they start having a very soothing physical experience. And then in terms of the animals, you can imagine your virtues transforming in the form of the wisdom of emptiness and the wisdom understanding of various realities, and then offering these to the animals, thereby the animals they are being freed from the specific unique suffering of dullness. And then in terms of the hungry ghost realm, you imagine transforming your virtues into the very fruitful or very delicious fruits and so forth, thereby offering these to the hungry ghost realm and fulfilling their desires. So it is said by Gishipodova. So he speaks about the relationship in different ways. So one relationship in ways of nature, which means, for example, the parents, if they die, then when their respective children accumulate virtues and then dedicate it towards the parents who passed away, so that should be of great benefit to the parents, deceased parents, because of the connection, because of their relationship in terms of nature. And then in terms of the relationship, in terms of the dharma or teachings, student-teacher relationship, when somebody does kind of virtue, and then that could be of benefit to the other who is related in terms of dharma, in terms of student-teacher relationship, because of that relationship. So normally we have the tendency to try to get all the good things upon oneself and try to give away all the bad things to others. So to overcome this, so actually this practice of giving good things towards others and taking the bad things upon oneself would be of great, in order to actualize that, the practice of generosity should be really contributing or helpful. And by emphasizing on the practice of compassion, you start imagining taking all the pains and suffering of other beings upon oneself. And by emphasizing on the practice of love, you imagine you are giving away all things towards all happiness, all pleasures that you have towards all other beings. So it says that even if you are to train in this generosity, even at simply at the level of the mental exercise, it is set in the ground, Bodhisattva ground or Bodhisattva Bhumi, that it should be of tremendous benefit. The actual text reads, moreover, the Bodhisattva levels teaches that the training and the aspiration that aspires to give to sentient beings through emanating immeasurable varieties of phenomena, that are objects to be offered with clear faith from the depths of one's heart, increases immeasurable merit with little effort, and is the generosity of wise Bodhisattva. So whereas if you have wholeheartedly dedicated something to the welfare of someone else, so actually there are two elements. One is, if you have already wholeheartedly dedicated something, some kind of possessions to your possession to someone else, and then after that, if you try to partake that or if you use that, that is going to be a downfall. And whereas the other element is that, and whereas even if you have already dedicated all these things wholeheartedly, and then your very being of survival, it's just, if you really can transform that to be of benefit for other beings, so there then, through such kind of motivation, through such kind of understanding the reality, it is said that it is permitted, you can actually use or partake in those things that even if you have already dedicated towards others. So in the second case, there is no downfall. So the text reads, if you use for your own sake those things dedicated to others while discriminating them to other substances, it becomes taking what has not been given, stealing. And if it is something valuable, it becomes a defeat of the Pratimoksha vow. On the other hand, if you use them thinking, I'll use the resources of these sentient beings for his own welfare, there is no fault. So it is said that when engaged in this practice of generosity, it would be still more powerful if you can complement that with the other remaining five practices of perfections, like ethical discipline and so forth. So if you can, if you really want to study these things as to how to complement a specific action of generosity by the other remaining five practices of perfection, you read through the great exposition of these stages on the stages of the path to enlightenment by Lama Tsongkhapa. So by actually multiplying or increasing the this practice of patience or this mindset of giving your body, wealth and virtues to others without expecting anything in return, simply dedicating everything for the other sentient beings, so that ultimate state of the perfection in the habituation in the practice of generosity is called the perfection of generosity. Next, training in the perfection of ethical discipline. The ethical discipline is the mind of abandonment, that is the mind turned away from harming others, together with its base. This is mainly from the point of view of the ethical discipline of restraint. Through thoroughly completing the familiarity with this mind more and more, it becomes the perfection of ethical discipline. And and for the divisions, the ethical discipline of restraint, the ethical discipline of accumulating virtuous qualities, the ethical discipline of working for the welfare of beings. The ethical discipline of restraint, from the point of view of being together with the motivations, it is the 10 abandonments that abandon the 10 non-virtues. From the point of view of the entity, it is the 7 abandonments of body and speech that abandon the 7 non-virtues. And then it says, in those possessing the vows of individual liberation, who possesses the bodhisattva vows, the ethical discipline is of restraint is the actual vows of individual liberation of the class of the laity, all the ordained and abandonments and vows that are common to them in their continua. And there is another class of human being stated in the Buddhist literature called dominion, so that I couldn't really trace as where that kind of human beings live. In those possessing bodhisattva vows who are unsuitable as a support for the vows of individual liberation, the ethical discipline of restraint is the abandonments and restraints of abandoning either the natural misdeeds or formulated misdeeds that are common to individual liberation. Although the vows of individual liberation in the continuum of a bodhisattva are vows of ethical discipline, in the continuum of a bodhisattva, they are not actual bodhisattva vows, whereas the rest have a common basis for the bodhisattva vows. So basically, when you speak about the ethical discipline of restraint, so those are the ethical discipline of the personal liberation. In the case of someone who has already bodhisattva vow, although there is not a bodhisattva vow, but it's a kind of the precepts. Next, the ethical discipline of gathering virtuous qualities. For someone who is in the ethical discipline of gathering virtuous qualities is through observing virtues, such as the 6 perfections, etc., to generate that which has not yet been generated in one's own continuum, to not allow that which has been generated to degenerate, and increase it more and more. Enacting the welfare of sentient beings. The ethical discipline of enacting the welfare of sentient beings is to accomplish the welfare of sentient beings in this and future lives through ethical discipline without any misdeeds as appropriate. So in relation to the ethical discipline of enacting the welfare of sentient beings, so it is stated 11 of such. Or helping someone who is actually a traveler, or helping a traveler first, and a second. Giving instructions to a farmer as to how to plow the land properly and so forth. Third, giving medicines to sick people, and then help lead some blind people. So this would be kind of example when we say helping a blind person. So likewise, someone who has been inflicted kind of pain by national calamities as flood and so forth, so offering hands.